Good morning.
Good morning.
Open in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for his great sacrifice going to that cross to bear our judgment and die for our sins, that we all may be saved and brought into glory. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we ask you to bless the reading of thy word. We ask you to guide us all on by thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, let me begin by saying, as I go out every week with the gospel trying to reach people in different areas, I come across all different kinds of situations, and a lot of negative, upsetting situations and positive. Now, this last year, there's been a lot of things on my heart. And I wrote down a few of them that have really been on my heart the most. I thought, since they were gospel-related, I could share them with you today. First is the opposition. Seems the more that I go out with the gospel and try to reach people, and the more that they're considering the message, the more the opposition's coming at me. Now, a lot of times they come from all different directions, people that you weren't even expecting the opposition to come from. But this is expected. We know this is expected. We know the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. So as I see all the opposition come at me, the Lord show me how to deal with different situations. But it goes to remind me that just as God has his people, the devil has his people as well. Now, to back this up with scripture, let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, I'm going to read verse 44. Here's Jesus talking to a group of people that can't spiritually understand him because they don't belong to God. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." Simply stating that the devil has his people. Now God has his people too. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. "For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So we see two groups of people. There are people who belong to the devil, and those who have faith in Christ Jesus are children of God. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, before we have trusted Christ, we are children of wrath. So we can clearly see that there's two groups of people, just as there are saved people and there are unsaved people. You're either one of the two persons. You're either saved or you're not. Now, two good examples of the people, now that we started the gospel outreach in the park, every year I see it in the park. The people who belong to the devil, sometimes they're a little more rude than other times. There'll be somebody preaching the gospel down there, and then here comes somebody. "You don't have the right to do that. Stop doing that. You're disturbing the peace." Here they are making more noise than the person preaching. And they're getting so upset. They're yelling at the person. They look for somebody else to yell at because they don't want the preaching of the cross being preached. So they're yelling at people. And when they realize they can't stop the preaching, a lot of times they leave and they go call the police. Police show up, we show them the permit, we explain to them what we're doing, tell them a little gospel message if we can. I'll usually give them a gospel track and they leave. And they say, "Oh, sorry, we're just doing our job." No problem. Now, you can see God's people in this park as well. A lot of times they'll come through, they hear the preaching of the cross. "Hey, praise the Lord, brother. Keep on preaching it. Amen." And they're praising the Lord right there because they like to hear the Lord being preached. Or other times they'll just stop and listen, and they'll be like, "Oh, praise the Lord." And they'll be more discreetly. Now, the devil being discreet, those are the people who would just avoid the whole area. They'll walk all the way around, pretty much the whole block, to get away from the preaching of the cross. And I'll see him walking all the way around because I'm looking to see who can be reached out there. So, just to state that there are two groups of people in this world. You're either saved or you're not. You either belong to the devil or you belong to God. I don't like mentioning this, but it has to be mentioned. We have to know the truth. But I got to say, the most upsetting thing that I see during the year is when somebody dies and goes to hell. It's the most upsetting thing that I see or hear about during the year. How do I know they died and went to hell? Go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, let's read verse 21. Then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Jesus says, if you die in your sins, you cannot go where he is. Now, most of us know that Christ is in heaven right now, but let's go ahead and look in the scriptures to prove it. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we're going to read verse 50 and 51. Now remember, after Christ died for our sins and he rose again from the dead, he appeared to many different people on this earth. And here, in this occasion, he's walking down that famous road to Emmaus with a group of people. Come to verse 50 and 51. And Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So here we see it. Jesus is saying very clearly, if you die in your sins, you cannot go to heaven where he is. Now, like I said, sometimes it's more obvious than others. I'll give you an example. Here I am trying to reach a group of people. I'm telling them the gospel. Yes, Christ died for your sins. Yes, you can go to heaven. You can choose to go to heaven today, right? And I'm preaching to them just nice and casually. Here comes somebody that I'm not even preaching to. Comes out of my left, my right side over here. And he starts yelling and swearing, you don't have the right to do that. You're wrong. That book is wrong. And swearing in my ear. And I'm looking to see if anything coming my way. But I guess turn the other cheek. I just keep on preaching. Listen, no, you can choose Christ. You can go to heaven today. And right here in the scriptures, look at it. It's right here. You can choose. He's swearing and yelling, right? He realizes he can't stop me, so he just walks away, still swearing and yelling, complaining about that. And he got himself so worked up, he got around the corner and had a heart attack. Now, you could assume that person died in his sins, hating the preaching of the cross, got so worked up, the last thing he said was swearing, keep that, hit that Jesus, and next thing you know, he dies and has a heart attack. He died in his sins. You can clearly see he died in his sins. Went to hell. Or another occasion here, preaching to a different group of people, right? And just same message over again, same message. Here comes somebody walking behind me. Oh, keep that Jesus away from me. I don't want him in my life. I'm just saying things, swearing, and walk away. He gets in his car. He starts driving away, right? Now, he's driving away, obeying all the rules of the law, doing the speed limit, driving correctly, right? So he's driving away. Last thing he said was, oh, keep that Jesus away from me. He's doing okay driving, but the person drunk, going in the wrong direction on the opposite side of the road, coming straight at him, hits the guy straight on. 65 miles an hour one way, you're doing 45 going the other way. When you get that kind of collision, he's dead on the spot. I saw the crime scene. Engine in the front seat, guy died, car caught on fire. They had all the paramedics there. That guy died right there on the spot. Last thing he said was, keep that Jesus away from me. I don't want no part of it. Died right there. You don't have a time to change your mind during that kind of collision. You die right there. Last thing you said was, keep that Jesus away from me. Died right there in the spot. Went to hell. Sorry to say it, but you know, I'm sorry that I even got known about it. But these things really upset me when I see somebody die and go to hell. Now, I got to bring out the danger of dying in your sins going to hell. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Just to get a little understanding of your future if you die in your sins. try to get an understanding of what's going to happen. Let's read verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay, so the devil gets cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, this does not mean there's actually a day or a night in the lake of fire. Jesus describes it as a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What this means is for every single moment, for all eternity, is being tormented by the lake of fire, in the lake of fire. That means every single moment, every moment that goes by, you're being tormented. There's no day or night. Time is no longer in existence. You're there forever. You're in eternity. Now, in the same chapter, go to verse 14 and 15. Let's try to get a little understanding what happens here. Everybody who died in their sins went to hell, okay? Then the Lord judges them according to their sins they have committed to find out the degree of punishment that happens in the lake of fire. Then we come to verse 14. After everybody gets judged according to their sins to find out the degree of punishment in the lake of fire, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This means you're in hell, you died in your sins, you get judged by the Lord according to the sins you have committed on this earth. Then you get thrown into the lake of fire. And then the hell that you are in gets thrown into the lake of fire, with the devil, the beast, the false prophet, and everybody else who died in their sins are being tormented in the lake of fire forever. This is what happens. I don't like to mention it, but we have to mention what we have to know what we're being saved from if we want to be saved. Now, it has a big effect on me a lot of times, so maybe that's more of a motivation to go out with the gospel, but I have to mention it. We have to be saved from dying in our sins. Now, next group of people is upsetting in a different way. This is kind of a sad way that it's upsetting. I reach them out there with reaching people every single day. Even yesterday I was out, and I knew if I went out yesterday, all these groups would be highlighted to me. And I went out yesterday. These are the people who don't really know the truth of the gospel. They don't know. They don't know who Christ is. They don't know the truth of the gospel. And, I mean, it gives an opportunity to share the gospel with them, but that goes in all different kinds of directions. But people out there, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of people out there who really do not know the truth of the gospel. Put it this way. Let's see. If you reach two people a week, what is it, 52 weeks in a year? What is that, 110 people? You do a little survey. I do surveys, and I check off areas, what's in what area, so I know how to go to different areas. But if you do, you start counting the people who really do not know the truth of the gospel, you'll be shocked. So just for right now, right here, for the record, I'm going to lay out a simple gospel message. It was like, hold on. It starts with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel of salvation starts with Christ, the Son of God. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read the very first verse. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Many people don't know who Christ is. I've heard all different kinds of things of who Christ is. But we have to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, the perfect person. So the gospel message in its most simplest form, it goes like this. At just the right time in mankind's history, under just the right conditions, as was all prophesied by God in His Word, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin in Israel, knowing that his son was not going to be received by his own people. In fact, they were going to reject him as their Messiah, to the point where they were going to influence the Roman authorities to have him crucified. Jesus, knowing this was God's plan, God knowing that his son was going to be going to be crucified on that cross, right? But what everybody did not realize what was going to happen was that God was going to lay all of our sins and our judgment on his son on that cross. They didn't realize that at the time of that day. Most people in this world today don't know it. That God laid all of our sins on his son on that cross. And not only our sins, but our judgment, that fire of hell that we all deserve, God laid on his son on that cross. It's hard for us to understand it, but it's true. Christ died for our sins. This is what happened. Christ was taking our wrath for us. The wrath of God that we all deserve, Christ was taking it on that cross. Blinded to all the people that Christ was bearing our judgment on that cross. And after Christ endured the full wrath of God, he cried out, "It is finished." Bowed his head, gave up the ghost, and died for our sins on that cross. And as was also prophesied, he'd be given a reverent burial in a rich man's tomb. And was also prophesied, "Thy Holy One shall not see corruption." Christ rose again from the dead on the third day, walked out of the tomb in his resurrected body, having victory over sin and death. Then after being on this earth for 40 days, he ascended back to heaven, as we read in Luke chapter 24, right in front of the group of people that he was with, ascended back to heaven to sit on the right hand of God the Father. And now he's looking down on earth on all mankind, searching everybody's heart, seeing who wants to be saved, who wants the forgiveness of sins, who wants to be saved. Christ is looking on your heart right now. If you want to be saved, he'll save you. Now I come to the next group where the people are upsetting in a different way. Anytime I come across somebody who's not saved, believe me, my heart goes out for them. But I come across this group, the people who believe the truth. They believe the whole truth, but they're not saved. And a lot of times I'll be talking to them and they'll say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. Oh yeah. And I got to slow them down at that point. So let me get this straight. You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Believe that? And you believe he died for your sins? Yes, I believe that. I'm looking for something. There must be something wrong here because I know they're not saved. I said, wait a minute, do you believe that he rose again from the dead? Because you know resurrection is just as important in believing as that Christ died for your sins. Oh yeah, Christ rose again from the dead. Yeah, he sure did. They'll even say something like, oh yeah, bless the Lord, God bless you, or something, you know. And it's almost like the devil's like pulling them away. Okay, you heard enough, come on, it's time to go. I said, hold on, excuse me for a second. Let me just ask you one question. Yeah, what is it? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, you hear some kind of answer like this. Well, I hope so. Well, maybe. Or I guess I'll find out when it happens, won't I? Pull them away. The devil's like pulling them away. You heard enough. Hold on a second. My mind is like, I can't settle for that. Michael, let me get you for one more second here. Doesn't that bother you not knowing that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Doesn't that shake you up a little bit that you could go to the lake of fire? You already believe in hell. You believe that people go there. Doesn't that bother you a little bit? Wouldn't you want to be sure of salvation? Don't you want to be sure that you have a place in heaven? See, there's a difference between knowing the truth and believing the truth and receiving the truth. People believe the gospel, but they have not received it in their heart. They have not trusted it in their heart. It's not become real to them yet. They have not trusted Christ for salvation. They know the truth, and it's like they just get along with, oh, I know the truth, that's fine. And go along their life and just don't worry about it. See, there's no conversion there. There has to be a conversion. It has to go from the head knowledge to be received in the heart and make it real, make it a part of you. This is how people miss heaven by 12 inches, the distance between the head and the heart. There's no conversion there. So what does Jesus say about the conversion? Matthew chapter 18. Let's go. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read verse 3. And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you," which means truly I say unto you, "except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Except you be converted, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus here is referring to childlike faith. Come to God with childlike faith. Let me put it like this way. See, I don't have children, but I have taught a lot of kids how to play different sports or games, right? Now, when a child wants to learn how to play a game or a sport and they trust the person teaching them, they pay attention. They try to follow the rules. They try to do it the right way so they can obtain their objective of the game. Personally, I remember when I was a little kid, I wanted to learn how to tie my shoelaces. I went to my uncle. I said, "You show me how to tie my shoelaces?" First thing he did was look down at my laces right there, and they were all tied in a little knot, right? And he says, "First thing you got to do is undo that mess right there and start all over." And I was kind of obsessed. "What? That's good enough?" "No." And he says, "No, you can't start with a mess. If you want to come out with the finished product that's right, start from scratch. Do it the right way." Okay, take the laces undone. Okay, now I got two sides. Okay, this one goes over this way underneath. Pull it tight. Okay, loop, go around. Now, if I started doing it the wrong way, he would say, no, you can't do it that way. You went backwards. You did it wrong. So as much as I didn't want to be corrected, I said, okay, I want to learn how to tie my shoelaces. So I do it the right way. Finally, I learned how to tie my shoelaces, and I was so happy about it. Now, this is how God wants you to come to Him. God wants you to come to heaven the way He has planned it. Unfortunately, many people got their own ways. They think something that they can do this or do that or join some kind of religion and get to heaven. Well, this is all wrong. This is not God's way of coming to heaven. God lays it out pretty simple. He says, "Listen, mankind, you're all sinners. Born into sin, you're a habitual sinner. And I cannot have sinners in heaven unless they've been cleansed, unless they've been forgiven of their sins." You see, Isaiah 59:2 says, "Your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God." That means we're separated between God by our sins. So God says, God sends a solution, His Son, Jesus Christ. God says, "Listen, I sent my Son to die for your sins on the cross. Now He is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The one mediator between God and man. The Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the only way to heaven. Now, you want to go to heaven? You got to come God's way. You can't come your own way." Some people don't know how to make the conversion real. Okay, I believe it. I believe the truth. Now, how do I make the conversion real? They look at me and they're all kind of confused. Like, "Well, how do I? I don't get it. How come you have it and I don't? How do I make the conversion real?" All right, let's understand something. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking upon your heart right now. All across this world, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking on your heart. He knows your heart. He knows your heart better than you do. So He's looking to see if you want to be saved. If you really want to be saved in your heart, Christ knows it. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to read verse 7. "The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." The Lord is looking on your heart to see if you want to be saved. Okay, so now you want to make the conversion real? Let's make it real. Turn to the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 32. Psalm Psalm 32, we're going to read verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Coming to the Savior as a sinner, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I already believe you died for my sins. Now I'm coming to you as a sinner. I want to be saved. I confess my sins to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can quote him. You said you would forgive me of my sins. Quote God on his word. That's what advocate means. Let Christ be your lawyer here. His word is your behalf, on your behalf. I trust you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. You said you will forgive me. I believe it. I receive it. I trust it. That settles it. I'm saved by faith in Christ. We see, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, believe in this context means to trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He will forgive you. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I'm not trying to hide my sin. I come to you, Lord Jesus Christ, as a guilty sinner. I want to be forgiven. I confess my transgressions unto you, Lord, and you forgavest the iniquity of my sins. You said you will forgive me if I come to you as a guilty sinner. Salvation. Now you have trusted Christ for salvation. Now you can be forgiven of all your sins. Now you can praise the Lord and say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for saving me. I'm guaranteed a spot in heaven. Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the last group is, these are the people who say, I'm not ready yet. Not ready yet. Boy, if every time someone says, I'm not ready yet, I'm like, the Lord tries to get people's attention. And a lot of times there's something preventing them from coming to Christ to be saved. Whether it's maybe it's a pride, like, well, they don't want to admit they've been wrong. They don't want to admit that I need Jesus Christ to go to heaven to be saved from hell. Maybe there's something in their life where they don't want Christ to interfere with their life. It would sound like this. Oh, I like my life the way it is right now. I like my life the way it is. Yes? Well, yeah, you like your life the way it is. So they don't want Christ to come in and interfere with their life. Or there's some kind of sin that they don't want to give up. I don't want to give this up, so I'm not coming to Christ because I don't want to give this up yet. I'm not ready yet. Listen, Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. We're not guaranteed to have tomorrow. A lot of people say, I'm not ready yet. Maybe later I'll accept Christ. Now listen, that person who got in their car and they just drove down the street, they were doing all the right things driving, right? They weren't expecting that car to come around the corner, go in the wrong direction, drunk, hit them straight on, die right there in the spot. They weren't expecting that. People die every single day. We're not guaranteed to have tomorrow. If you're not saved and you're here today, you need to be saved because you're facing a terrible danger if you don't. God warns people that you need to be saved. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, get out of hell free. And it said, John 3:16. I said, well, that person knows the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believeth, who means trusting. Here it is again, believe. When you see believe, think of trusting. Whoever trusts on Jesus Christ and his finished work shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but have eternal life in heaven. So I say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Simple, quick gospel message. If you're not saved, make today the day of salvation. You could say, okay, on June 12th, 2016, I came to Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And yes, it's recorded in God's book and in your own book. I came to Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, you can either choose heaven or you can choose hell. People, you do have a choice. I hear so many people say, you don't have a choice to go to heaven or hell. That's God's decision. God wants everybody to go to heaven. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. These epistles get me every time, but Ephesians, there we go. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to read a few verses, starting at verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God's plan and purpose for each and every person in this world is to go to heaven, to be a child of God. God's will, it's not only his will, but it's his good pleasure to bring you to heaven. You do have the choice. Now, this will also tell us that it has to be, it's up to you. You can either trust Christ and go to heaven, glorify God, be saved from hell, or you can choose to reject him and just go your own way and then end up in hell. So everybody has the free will choice to choose heaven or to choose hell. If you do nothing at all about it, you just say, oh, that was a good message, and just leave and just go on your day, you have made a choice. That's called rejecting Christ. If you hear the gospel message and you're not saved, it goes down in your record book as one more time that you rejected Christ. So I gotta say, today is the day of salvation. Choose Christ. Close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for his willingness to go to that cross to bear our judgment and die for our sins. Now, Father, if there's anybody here that has not yet placed their trust in Christ, may you help them to do so now. Bring them. We know the Scripture says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That means nobody will be turned away. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we thank you for your promise of salvation. Thank you for this day. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.